Darren Haynes. Darren, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm good. How's your Christmas, buddy?
It was really good. Yourself?
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's always a lot of junk eating and a lot of visiting and it's a busy time of holiday, right? You're always on the go somewhere. Someone's hosting Christmas Eve. Christmas Day supper. It's on the go. Actually looking forward to a bit of a relaxing today. It would be good.
How much turkey have you consumed over the last 48 hours?
The ratio is pretty high.
Yeah.
Got your
sweatpants on today?
The sweatpants, I think, have been on for about a week already. Yeah, it's no good. It's no good. I'm looking forward to a warmer afternoon, maybe take the dogs for about a 5-hour walk. That's about what I need.
It's not for the dogs this time. It's for you, right?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, well, let's kick off and talk some hockey, as the Flames are in action tonight. It's their first game back after the Christmas break, and the Flames last in action on Friday at home against the Canucks. It was a 4-1 victory. We'll look back at that game. How do you evaluate things for the home side?
Well, good thing we're not evaluating the visiting side, because they are not very good. I'll tell you, that was a dreadful performance from Vancouver, and Calgary took full advantage. I mean, they dominated them that first period. You did wonder how Brian Elliott was going to react and how things would go for the team as well. When that goal went in, that was a complete fluke. I mean, Calgary's dominating the period, and then this weird carom puck goes way up in the air. Elliott has no idea where it is, and then we had a great view of it. You just watch it go over his head and land right in the net behind him, and just a bit of adversity for in a building where it hasn't been a great season for Brian Elliott. But to the team's credit, they came right back out in the second period and got a goal early, and then the way they ran. So Vancouver was not very good. And Calgary took full advantage, and the shots were 37-14. It was as one-sided as that was will portray the game. I mean, sometimes shot clock is misleading, not on that night.
Well, and it's funny, you mentioned that goal. That's kind of a good summation of what Brian Elliott's season has been, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because there's been a few of those lately. You know, even you think about the game in Arizona, he's back in the crease, and just a tough play that he tries to rim a puck around the boards, and it ends up in his net. He's not even in the net. So he's had a few of those, go his way or lately. But in both cases, they were able to come back and get him wins. So I think he's got something going now, it seems like. And plus, again, what worked against him early in the season is the team was not very good. There was a constant fire drill in front of him in that first month of the season where he was getting a majority of the starts. As the team has gotten better, it kind of coincided with Chad Johnson taking over as that kind of number one. So he hasn't had a chance and kind of the luxury of playing behind what's been a better team, a significantly better team defensively, structurally, system-wise, than what was in front of him in that month of October, where there were a lot of two-on-ones, three-on-ones, breakaways, and that sort of thing. So I think the door is open here for Elliott to continue to be on a roll. I would fully expect him to be back in there again tonight, and they're in a little bit of a soft part of the schedule, Stu, so it certainly sets up nicely for him to maybe take the ball and run with it for not just 3 or 4 games, but even longer.
Chatting with Darren Haynes, Flames from 80feet.ca is his website. You can also check him on Twitter, at Darren W. Haynes. And you mentioned it, and I know where you're going to go with this next answer, because, just based on what you just said, and we kicked it around this morning. What would you do between the pipes tonight? And I think I would go back to Elliott. He had 2 wins last week. You mentioned it. Hasn't really had a chance to run with things. And the team has kind of figured things out right now. And not that Chad Johnson's been horrible, but he hasn't won a game in 3 starts. I think I would go right back to Brian Elliott tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't fault him for not being busy, but he actually still was sharp. He in the third period when Vancouver had a little bit of a push and had a few good chances. I mean, of those 14 shots, there wasn't a lot of chances, but there were a few good ones. One was a bit of a, I don't know, the puck skipped or past the defenseman. They had a bit of a 2-on-0, and he made a really nice blocker save off Brandon Sutter. So he did make some key saves, and Glenn Gullitson, just to kind of give you a preview of kind of where his head is at, he made a point of emphasizing that, he wasn't busy, A, those games are hard on goalies when you're not facing a lot of action. You're kind of down there twiddling your thumbs waiting for the, and all of a sudden the chances come, and there were a few good chances in there that he was, that he defended very well, and so he shut the door. And the only goal that got him, got past him, was that ridiculous fluke goal. So yeah, no, fully expect him to get back in there, and you know, with him playing kind of every other night here, the chance is there to go on a little bit of a run.
And you look at the standings, the Flames obviously have played a lot of games here, and that what makes this stretch here of you know, your next six games all that more crucial, because you want to put pressure on the teams that are chasing you, because you have played more games, so you want to win against these lower teams in the standings. And you look at it against Colorado tonight, Anaheim on Thursday, which is never easy despite where they are in the standings, the Arizona Coyotes on Saturday on New Year's Eve, your first game in 2017 is at home against the Avalanche again, and then you close things out with a home and home against the Canucks on January 6th and 7th. I mean, you look at this stretch of six games, you can even count the one before Christmas and make it a stretch of seven. I mean, you win six of these seven games, you're putting yourself in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, and I would think at least five wins and maybe six. I mean, six would be good, but I would say a minimum of five they have to win, because these are, you know, Vancouver, Colorado, Arizona. Look at the standings. They're the three worst teams in the NHL. This is a ridiculously soft part of the schedule. But, you know, so they obviously can't go into games assuming they're going to be easy. Calgary is far from a team to be in a position to be able to take an opponent lightly. But the opportunity is there. And if they can play to the capability of how they have been playing, you know, really going back since the middle of November, five or six wins in that period of seven games is very possible. And that really is what they need to do, because then the schedule gets more difficult again. And also, look, if these guys, you know, if these guys are a playoff contender and that's how they see themselves, they look in the mirror and they see a team that should be in the playoffs, in their chase anyway, then these are opponents they have to beat. This is message sending as well. So we'll see how they handle it.
How would you assess the Avalanche at this point? I mean, the month of December has been horrid. They've won just three games in the month of December, including one before the Christmas break, obviously against the Avalanche or against the Blackhawks, the big win. But they had to do that in overtime. They've scored one regulation goal in the past three games. Only Arizona has the, you know, less wins than the Avalanche when you look at the overall standings in the NHL. What's going on with the Avalanche right now?
Yeah, they're in trouble. I mean, you know, the last time they won a game at home was November 15th. I was a long way from even beginning my Christmas shopping when that happened. So, I mean, that's like eight straight losses at the Pepsi Center. They're playing miserable on home ice. From all reports, that they just look like a disinterested bunch when they're playing in front of their home fans. Inconsistency kind of up and down the lineup. You know, could there be anybody more inconsistent than Semyon Varlamov, who, you know, you remember he gave up six on 16 shots and gets yanked against Montreal, then plays the next night and makes 51 saves and gives up only a goal. You know, that's kind of that inconsistency. And Varlamov is an interesting situation because he's coming off another bad start where he gave up five on, I believe it was 18 shots, and that was in their last home game. They got lit up 6-0 by Toronto. So inconsistency in net, you know, they're not getting enough up and down the lineup. I mean, even you look at, you know, Joe Colburn was a very popular guy with the media. We loved him. He was a great quote, always available, you know, a real good guy that you genuinely root for. But what a miserable season it's been. He had that hat trick in the opening night of the season. 26 games since that hat trick, no goals and one assist.
Yeah.
Crazy. So, yeah, the Avs are definitely in trouble. They're going to be at that point where, as they drift out of the playoff picture here, they're going to be ones that, you know, the buyer-seller conversation, you know, you're pretty much looking at selling. They've got some UFAs. I mean, Rene Bork, Blake Como, this isn't a strong lineup. They've got some young talent, but they just don't have enough surrounding those guys. So this is definitely a beatable team for Calgary. It's always tough when you got to travel on a game day. It's so unusual.
Yeah.
But, you know, put that aside. Like I said, they haven't won at home since November 15th. eight straight losses. It's 2 points that are right there for him. They just got to go and grab them.
Well, and it's one of those things, too, where you look at the standings, you're okay giving up that overtime point, just get the two, right? I mean, you know, whether it's a shootout win or an overtime win, as long as you get the 2 points, you're okay, because it's not like Colorado's really going to play a factor when it's all said and done at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's just like playing an Eastern Conference opponent in that regards, absolutely, because I think the Avs are a team that are not going to be in the playoff picture this year. So, yeah, so the opportunity is there, but you can't take them lightly because, again, they could, and I would expect, I guess we don't know what the state of their goaltending is, but if it is a guy like Calvin Pickard, he's a young guy but has the ability to throw a good game at you, so... You know, it will be interesting to see how they set up. You know, poor Jerome. We'll see how he's only got 4 goals this year. He looks like someone that will find a new address by the time the trade deadline rolls around, if not long before. So there is some guys that will probably be in place moving on. And I think the Avs, they're just in trouble. And I feel bad for their coach, Jared Bednar, who has a very good track record in the American Hockey League, and there's a lot of very good NHL coaches right now that have come via that route, but just he didn't have the same type of time to build up and to get, because of the Patrick Roy and how late in the summer that all shook down, just hasn't had the same amount of time that you need when you take over a hockey club, that you need. You think of all the planning that Glenn Gulletson had done after he got hired, and he had a couple of fewer months than Gulletson, and even for Gulletson it took 6 weeks for him to finally get his message, across and that sort of thing. So everything's kind of in shambles there. I think it's really they're already looking at next year with Colorado, and we'll see what changes they make before next year.
Would you trade one of the big pieces if you're Joe Sakic? Are you trading a Matt Duchene, a Landeskog, a Tyson Berry? Are you moving anything big? I guess what I'm trying to say is, are you blowing things up or are you making tweaks? Because this core group has never really been able to get over the top except for that first year under Wall where they won the Central Division.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it sounds like a conversation that isn't too different than what the conversation has been in Edmonton lately, doesn't it? Hey,
yeah.
Where, you know, do they need to make a bit of a change? And, there's always that reluctance with those guys that you've drafted and developed and have been there and have wore only that jersey. But, well, I'll tell you, it sure worked for Edmonton. They stabilized the defense and the whole team has kind of, taken a step forward. So, yeah, I mean, I think that with that as a case study, I think you have to expect that maybe they do not just do a little bit of adjusting around the outside, but maybe do a move a core piece just to change the mix.
And as we wrap things up with Darren Haynes, Flames from 80feet.ca, you can also follow him on Twitter at Darren W. Haynes. Did you watch any of Canada-Russia yesterday?
Yeah, I watched most of it. It was, it was a good game. Again, Calgary had a prospect in that game. Well, they had two. They had one on both sides, but for a guy that was kind of fourth line energy role, Dylan Dubé, nice impression. So Flames fans should be kind of pleased with what they saw from number 9 for Canada, guy who plays out of Kelowna, and I thought was an instrumental part. He didn't play a whole lot, but he's out there drawing penalties, plays in the offensive zone a lot, and overall the team looks like they're off to a good start. It's going to be tough, I think, for Canada this year. We'll have to see what they get in net. Goaltending is so important in that tournament. And, I think there was a couple that made you pause watching the game yesterday, but I guess they get going again today. And, as that tournament goes on, the games get more important. We'll see how it unfolds, but obviously a good start.
Darren, as always, appreciate your time, my friend. It should be an interesting one tonight. As you mentioned it earlier, traveling on a game day is certainly unique. No game day skate for the team. And, they've all been away for a couple of days, going their separate ways. It'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. And it's a weird one for the Flames, too, because you travel on a game day, and then after the game, you're right out of Denver. You're not sticking around. And it's a one-off. You're back at home on Thursday. So certainly a unique situation to come back from the holiday break from the Flames. It will be interesting to see how they kind of to start this game. I think the first 10 minutes is going to be very crucial.
Yeah, and then who's in the lineup, too? The other question that maybe people forgot is Troy Brower left last game.
That's right.
Late in the first period, he got a shot. It was his own teammate, Chris Versteeg, who was dumping a puck in and hit him in the hand, and you could tell he was in pain immediately. He hit him right in the hand, right in the glove. The glove came off, the stick went flying, and he kind of gave it a shake. And Troy Brower has a 309-game Ironman streak going right now. This is not a guy that gets hurt very often. And in fact, if you go back, the one game he missed was due to illness. And then you go back another couple seasons before he actually had an injury of any substance. And so that's the one to keep your eye on today. That sure looked painful. They did not dismiss it as minor, nor did they say anything because they didn't know. But the way Gallatin was talking, they're going to have to look at the x-rays. They're going to look at the x-rays again. You certainly have to be leery that maybe this might be something that might keep him out of the lineup potentially, but we don't know. But if that is the case, they do have extra bodies. Lance Bowman was a scratch last game, and it's very easy to elevate Ferland, bring in Bowman on the fourth line in Ferland's spot. So that would be the one storyline that will develop today is Brower's health.
Yeah, and good for you to bring that up. I completely forgot, and he's had a pretty big impact on what seems to be a resurgent power play for this group.
Yeah, he's been a big piece on that power play with that right-handed shot. He's also, when did Sean Monahan finally get going? It was with Brower and Versteeg. And so I think, and sure enough, he rattles off a 10-game point streak. So Brower's been he's kind of brought what you've expected. He's going to, score between, he's going to end up in that kind of 17, 18 goal range probably. And then we'll see his value probably take off a little bit. And again, sometimes maybe not visible to the eye, but I think the kind of experience he brings is the kind of stuff you see in the playoffs. So if this team can get in the playoffs, whether it's this year or next year, when they do, I think that's a big reason why they got him as well.
Darren, enjoy the time off. It's been a great ride here, and obviously, the Flames looking to keep the good times rolling here with a pretty soft part in the schedule with six games coming up here against some pretty weak opponents. It starts tonight in Denver. Thanks for your time today, man.
All right. Have a great day, Will. Appreciate it.
Darren Haynes, flamesfrom80feet.ca. Also find him on Twitter at Darren W. Haynes.